Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch. We have the lovely and talented Kat at C-A-T, throwing caution to the wind. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found us, either one of us on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We have two, let's see, they are international towns there in the Asian persuasion. One is Roppongi, Japan. It is Tokyo's most opulent uptown areas, featuring world-class museums, Michelin star restaurants, and lots of luxury shopping.
What's opulent?
Over the top. Our other town is Queenstown, Singapore. Queenstown, Singapore is a little planning area, a satellite town there in Singapore, part of the Singapore Improvement Trust, made back in 1952, known for its mature estates and family-friendly atmosphere. And of course, it was named after Queen Elizabeth II to mark her coronation. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is part of the back porch culture. And don't forget, alcohol can remove stress, the bra, panties, and many other problems. Today, I'm removing the stress with a vodka martini with mini olives. Kettle One is out for obvious reasons. Kat, what you got?
7-Up just came up with a new concoction. I don't know if it's a summertime
tropical
thing. Limited LTD. It's called 7-Up Tropical. I watched a bunch of other people put it with stuff that didn't make sense. Instead, I just made a little glass of it with some mandarin orange. It's pretty good.
Wow. Sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, Don.
All right. Have you ever wondered why you're left-handed or right-handed? Didn't know this, but men are more likely to be left-handed. And believe it or not, cats and dogs have paw preferences. You know, here on the back porch, we love our furry ones. 30 to 40% of cats are left pawed, and 30 to 50% of dogs are left pawed. You don't really think about this until you injured your dominant hand, and then you realize, damn, I do everything this-handed, and now I have to use the other hand. And I'm having trouble doing simple stuff. Remember growing up, I broke my wrist, broke my arm. I think I broke everything. And I remember as a teenager when I broke my arm, I'm left-handed. So the doctor, he told me that everyone should try to do things, excuse me, with their non-dominant hand in case they injure their dominant hand. Which is smart, you know, then you won't be so clumsy trying to do stuff. But 40 years later, I still remember the doctor saying it, but do I practice it?
No.
Not very much. Didn't know that 90% of people are right-handed. There's only 10% of us lefties out there. I knew I was special. How about the 1% that are ambidextrous?
Right.
Equally talented with either hand. Now, that would be cool, wouldn't it? You know, I think I'll eat with my right hand tonight and put the fork in the lefty tomorrow night.
Some studies show that children that had switched hands back and forth, which I did quite a bit, not writing, but other stuff like sports, like I would play tennis left-handed or I'd play pool left-handed, are likely to have dyslexia.
Wow. In sports, Kat just brought it up. Lefties, they're winners, especially in the racket sports arena.
Well, because it's different. It's not what you're expecting.
Right. You know, tennis, ping pong, definitely pickleball. Lots of times the opponent really hadn't seen a lefty, and it kind of it throws them off a little bit.
Okay, but you do play pickleball left-handed?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a racket.
Well, you need to go
lefty.
Down the road to the new pickleball complex.
Can't wait.
And take on the old geezers and just rock their world.
I could embarrass them. In baseball, it's all about the lefties. And, you know, the major leagues, they're always looking for left-handed pitchers, left-handed sluggers. Of course, you know, it's all in the genes, right? DNA, heredity. But as we all know, I am special. Both my parents, right-handed.
Okay, did you ever have anybody, like a teacher in school, try and make you do it with the right hand?
No.
Because there's been
stories.
I'm not
that old.
There's been stories of older people that they got, you know, slapped with a ruler because they weren't using the right hand.
Right. You know, this is kind of strange. Fetuses start moving their arms and legs around 9 to 10 weeks, and the babies show a clear preference for sucking on one thumb over the other. How about that?
That's a special flavor.
Anyway, though, you really don't start to show preferences over the other till you're like age 2 or 3, and then your parents can figure out, okay, we got a righty. Here's some other different brain patterns. There are some different brain patterns that go on between lefties and righties. Lefties tend to use equal parts of their brain. What have we got? The right and left hemisphere?
Mm-hmm.
Lefties tend to process language a little better than righties, which is what I've said, you know, several times on this podcast. People need to listen. We don't listen anymore. And I being lefty, I'm a good listener, Honor Bay.
You're pretty good.
Come on. Lefties tend to be more creative. I think we've all heard that before.
Yeah.
Lefties tend to score higher on verbal reasoning, more likely to be in gifted programs. On the downside, lefties are more likely to have mental illness, mood swings, and restlessness.
Good Lord.
I got all that shit covered. Anyway, no big whoop, just throwing it out there. You know, it's not a competition, left versus right. You know, some of our presidents have been lefties. Reagan, Bush, Clinton, super cool Barack. You know, whatever. I don't care if you're red or blue, but Barack was pretty cool.
Barack is the coolest president ever.
All right. Let's roll right into one tough son of a bitch. Charlemagne. When you only got one name, you know you're badass. Charlemagne born.
Not to be confused with Charlemagne the God. It's a totally different guy.
Never heard of him. Charlemagne born in 748. in what is now known as Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
The dude was a badass. King of the Franks, king of the Lombards. Remember this was the medieval period?
Right.
Where
this is after we've already had the Roman Empire and we're just trying to pick up the pieces.
Like battles were just an everyday occurrence. Charlemagne kicked butt all across Europe.
Known as the father of Europe.
Spreading Christianity along the way.
Right. Very powerful emperor. Patron of learning, but he was functionally illiterate, relying on scribes to document information and messengers to deliver it.
He was an emperor, right? Crowned emperor of Rome in 800 by Pope Leo III. Like I said, dude's a crusader. He was looking for social, political, religious change.
Right.
Call him a Christian warrior.
He married multiple women, had large family, including as many as 18 children.
I got more stats on that. Again, you have to remember, most people during this time, quite barbaric, right?
Yeah, it's, you know.
But he wanted,
there's a reason it's called the Dark Ages, okay?
He wanted to take it down a notch.
Right.
Right? Get a little more cultured. Kat just mentioned, we'll get to that in a minute. Big imposing dude, 6'4". Had Kat said 18, I clocked 20 kids with his wives and concubines.
Busy guy.
We need to bring back the word concubine.
No, we don't.
Tried to unite Western and Central Europe. Charlemagne, he emphasized education and religion as crucial parts of a functioning society.
He was known to have a lot of dogs as companions. He would just walk around and all the dogs would be following after him like, hey, we're hanging out with Charlie.
And that makes Charlemagne one tough son of a bitch. Are we watching stuff?
We're watching. And this one has a history lesson. And I just realized yesterday when I was preparing it, my daughter didn't know what I was talking about. It was a great little series on Peacock called Lockerbie, The Search for Truth. It's about the Pan Am bombing of Pan Am 103 over there in Scotland, there in Lockerbie, Scotland. And it kind of takes you from the moment. It was a book written by Dr. Jim Squire about the search for justice to find out in the death of his daughter, one of the worst air disasters ever. And I'm talking to my daughter about it. She knows nothing at all. It's like this event in our history never happened. And I found it to be a really good documentary because they start from, you know, the actual bombing and what happened there. You know, let's see. 270 people died. There's 159 people on the plane, plus 11 people there on the ground there in Scotland that also died. And it was such an awful scene there in Scotland because different parts of the plane are falling in different areas of the town. There in Scotland, the local herds of sheep all spontaneously aborted because it was just such a frightening scene. And as time goes on in the story, Jim Squire's just trying to, you know, he's going to the trials and a lot of people with Libyans are being blamed for it. And he's thinking it's, you know, as time goes on through the trials, he's thinking the Libyans had nothing to do with it. It was really the Syrians. And that's part of the story that, you know, it kind of flips on it. And, you know, some of the other parents of the other survivors are like, no, we've got the right people. They're the people who put the bomb on the plane, you know, and he's fighting against them. Anyway, it's a very interesting story, basically because it happened in our lifetime, but people don't really talk about it because this is 1986, 87. People don't talk about it because 9/11 happens, and that is like the biggest tip. And there was also a great documentary that went along at Peacock, that kind of a regular documentary that went along with the story that kind of explains some of the, you know, there was a lot of things that happened to the families. Like the State Department didn't really tell them, call them up, hey, your child has died, and then just left them hanging like, oh, what do I do now? You know, a lot of the parents flew over to Scotland, you know, either wanted to see their children or, worse yet, wanted to see exactly where the child landed there in Scotland from falling out of the sky. You know, and they didn't really treat it the way that it should have been treated, you know. Some parents didn't know their child died until they went to the airport. And some of the things, lessons they learned kind of helped the 9/11 victims, really.
Yeah.
Of how to treat
all the mistakes they made.
All the mistakes that they made. And I would recommend watching that documentary after you finish watching Lockerbie, Search for the Truth. And I really, it was five episodes, and it's a little bit to get through. And sometimes you're getting mad at Dr. Squire, but he's just trying to find the truth, like just like everybody else is, and wants to make sure the right person is getting the blame for this.
Accountability.
So. Accountability, right. Anyway.
What's it on?
It is on Peacock. It just came out here. I would say I watched it in January or February. So it hasn't been out that long, but it's pretty good. And if nothing else, watch it with your kids, because my kids did not know one thing about this. And this is something that went on in our lifetime.
Major event.
Major event. So.
Kind of overlooked.
Right.
All right.
We are doing a shot today. I was inspired by a Hallmark movie, believe it or not.
Oh,
Kim became featured.
Oh, shit.
This is the lemon drop shot. It's, did an ounce of vodka, have an ounce of lemon juice, and like a whole ounce of sugar.
Sounds like a sweet one, an ounce of sugar.
Well, simple, no, it's not an ounce. It's the
simple syrup.
Simple syrup.
Your favorite ingredient?
My favorite ingredient.
All right, here you go. Cheers, baby. It's called the lemon drop. I feel like we've done this.
We've done the drink. We haven't done the shot.
Ow. It's not bad. The lemon drop shot is not bad. You could do a few of those through the night.
Oh, yeah. You can take those down.
All right. This week we were bumpered in with a band called Circa Waves, formed in 2013 from Liverpool, England. Kieran Shudall, Shuttle. Sorry, Kieran. Vocals and guitar, Joe Faulkner on guitar, Sam Rourke on bass, and Colin Jones on drums. Here we go again, another kick-ass band from England. Been around for over 10 years now. It's kind of time they broke here in the States. Circa Waves, they always hit the charts over in the UK. Because as we've stated on this podcast many times, the fans and the bands in the UK just make us look like idiots. With Circa Waves, I hear the Arctic Monkeys, I hear Two Door Cinema Club, I hear Catfish in the Bottle. What happened to Catfish in the Bottle?
Other comparisons, the Strokes, the Vaccines.
Wow. It was hard to pick the bumper song for this one. They got songs Never Going Under, We Made It. We went with Living in the Gray because great songs have great lyrics. And this song has some really good lyrics.
They're going to be near us April 19th.
Are they?
Washington, D.C., 9:30 Club.
Good deal. Check out Circa Waves wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.